Good morning, friends. Welcome. A few months ago, I was visiting my brother who lives in Vegas, Las Vegas, and he has had a very challenging opportunity-fold lifetime. My sister and I went to help him out, and I can't say that he's been a real close friend of mine over the years, but several years ago, I received information from my sister saying that he thought that I hated him. Now, because I love the path that I'm on and I love to grow spiritually, I had not really been consciously putting out quality vibrations to my brother. We have had our differences. We don't see each other very often. And he has been a bit of a nuisance sometimes for the family. But when I heard that word hate, that's when I basically said to Divine Mother and to my guru, okay, now I am ready to deal with this. And how do I deal with it? So instead of consciously bad-vibing him, I consciously good-vibed him by praying for him, by chanting for him, and by giving him an opportunity to be himself and also to realize who I was and what I've been practicing for a number of decades on this particular path. And in Vegas that time, something happened that was very positive, not just for me saying, you know, I accept you, JV, as my brother, and I'm really sorry you're going through all this stuff, but it went beyond that. And it's one thing to accept an individual's faults and accept that they are growing at their own particular rate. Everybody on this planet has their own particular growth rate happening, spiritual growth rate. They may not know it, they may not be aware of it, they may not care about it, but it is happening. Now, I'll come back to my brother a little bit later. There was a family friend who we grew up with who also lives in Las Vegas. And we went over to visit him, say hi. I hadn't seen him in maybe 40 years. And he had film of the Clarks growing up in the neighborhood, along with his family, the Copelands. And we grew up together in this neighborhood. And I wasn't aware at the time, but his parents filmed the children growing up at different stages. I mean, probably a good 25 years worth of film. We had five children in our family. They had five children in their family. I was tight, very close to Gary Copeland, who was my age. My sister was tight with Cheryl Copeland. They were the same age. And we sat down, and for a couple hours, I watched little Bob Clark growing up in this neighborhood. The one thing that stood out, besides me standing out on film, was I grew up a Catholic. My mother raised us as Catholics, and we didn't go to Catholic school, but she was very religious about getting to the Clark children to service every Sunday. But I went through the rituals, and I can't say that I was really attentive during Mass. I can't say that I really knew what was going on, but I knew my mother wanted me to go, so we went. But I do remember my first communion, and I remember it being filmed, and there I was. And I had this little blue suit on, and I had a little bow tie, clip-on bow tie, absolutely no hair. It's interesting how you grow up with no hair, and then there's a phase of life where you have hair, and then that tends to dissipate, and then pretty soon you have no hair again. So there I was, and my bow tie was a little crooked. I think my friend Gary did that. And there I was beaming as we went into the Catholic Church to receive my first communion. Well, I was thinking about that, getting prepared for this talk, because, like I said, I did not get a lot out of the Catholic religion for those 16 years that I went. But there were two images that have stayed with me ever since I left and came onto this path. That first image is what happens this time of year, the birth of the baby Jesus. And as a baby, you need to be nurtured. You need to have your parents protect you. You're fragile. You have to grow. And you have the support of your parents in order to grow. Now, Swami Kriyananda writes, the birth of Jesus is a symbol. It's symbolic of the new birth of divine awareness in each of us. And so this time of year, with the birth of Christ, it's also the rebirth for many of us of divine awareness that exists inside of us. Now, whether it's the first time you become aware that there may be more than what we see around us, and what is that more? But you feel it inside of you. Or it might be a renewal of that birth of the divine awareness in each of us. And in this particular chant we sang, Opal Flame, it's important. It's important, Yoganandaji said, to memorize the poem Samadhi that he wrote. And it's important to commit this chant to memory. Not that you have to chant it, but that you learn it and read it as a poem. Because of all the lines in there, there's two of them that stick out for me. And we just sang them. By wise inspiration, follow the starry eye to see the Christ born in thy soul anew. That is what Swamiji is talking about. To see the Christ born in our souls anew. Every Christmas, it's amazing to me, in the Catholic Church that I grew up in, we had a midnight mass. And when I was old enough, I was able to go with my mother to the mass and my older siblings. And I was thrilled. It was the one thing that I locked into. And as the church changed a little bit, they stopped having the midnight mass. And you could go to a Saturday or an evening mass the day before, but it was earlier. It wasn't at midnight. But there is something special about a midnight service. And Yoganandaji has often said there are great times to meditate through the day. And one of them is at midnight, when things in the globe, the world, where you live, become much stiller out there, but much more awake in here. So midnight services, and what we did a few days ago here, it's very, very, very important to do. And it doesn't have to just happen on these special occasions of Christmas or any other particular time. It can happen every day, where you can wake up and feel the Christ born anew inside yourself. The other image that I locked into was during the Easter season, during the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, Swami also writes that the crucifixion is symbolic as a reminder that we all have a cross to carry. We all have a cross to bear, the cross of karma, what we are facing in this lifetime. And as a child is nurtured and begins to grow, it's nurtured with love. It's nurtured with joy. It's nurtured with the companionship of the mother and father. And as new consciousness, that divine consciousness awakens within us, it is also fragile. It also needs to be nurtured. It needs to be nurtured with devotion, with patience, with steadfastness, with loyalty. And when that begins to develop, it becomes locked into your consciousness. And then in the crucifixion, it's not that you have to rely on the fragility of these qualities, but the devotion and the patience and your loyalty becomes your guide. It becomes your teacher. And it's a reminder that whatever we face, whatever crosses we carry with us, we can overcome them through resurrection of the divine consciousness within ourselves. It is guaranteed. It is foolproof. And it will happen to everyone in this room, and it will happen to everyone out there in the world. Now, going back to my brother, the experience I had with him, and I started a few years ago redirecting my consciousness towards him, that I could, it's, to be told that you hate somebody, it just doesn't work for me. And I've never hated anyone in my life. To have someone think that way about me is just unacceptable. So through prayer, through chanting, through affirmation, through visualization, I just started to see him as a soul, not the personality. And once you bypass the personality, what do you have? You have someone's exposed heart. And you go right into the heart. And then you start to change your consciousness within his heart. That's what I'm trying to do. And just to feel that we were connected. Now, he's my brother for a reason. And we spent a number of years together, growing up together, but we didn't really have a deep contact. And he went his way and I went my way. So we've had very little contact. But I knew that I was not consciously giving him good vibes over the years. And, you know, it never sat well with me, even though I would continue to give him bad vibes. It just made me feel awful. It just made me realize, and this is how Divine Mother works. She holds up something that we're working on, or something that we could work on. And she says, do you want to deal with this now? Or do you want to wait? Because it's not going to go away. I'll just put it over here. And when you're ready to deal with it, then let's work together with it. And quite frankly, I would feel awful about these bad vibrations. And I could see the suffering that he was going through. And still I wouldn't deal with it until I heard that word, hate. So where he became is my brother, but then I realized that he was much more than that. That this man who's 2 years older than me, is not just my brother, he's my teacher. And he helps me. He helps me to overcome the little limitations that I have. If as long as I'm not afraid to look at them, it's a bonus, it's a plus. And it's been a really guiding light for me. So in October, when we were visiting with him, and my sister's been the real hero in this. She's really helped him out financially and set him up. And I was there to support, and I was there just to be with my brother and my sister. Now afterwards, I was meditating the night before we left Vegas, and I had a really interesting experience. I felt that I shifted, but it wasn't just about me. It was like waves were being sent out from me through this acceptance, through this realization that I had wronged him, but it didn't stop there. It rippled out into a sense that it affected more people than my brother. I couldn't quite explain it, but it felt like it included many, 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 many people, not just my brother. It made me think how divine consciousness works. It's just not limited to one-on-one. It's expansive. It touches all souls. People feel it. And then about a week or so later, he called my sister and he said, you know, I just had this thought about Bob. And he called me and we chatted and we had a very normal conversation. And I really liked that. That was really good. I can't remember the last time we just sat down and chatted. It was over the phone, but we had chatted. So it made me think that it just wasn't healing for my brother. It was healing on all levels and also healing for me. It just went out in waves. And I still can't put my finger on it, but it had much more grander effect than I thought. I thought I was just dealing with John Clark. But no, I was dealing with many, 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 many people. It made me think about when my mother left her body, and I was meditating later that night, and all this tremendous exit of my heart from the threads of my connection with my mother and memories that I had totally forgotten about just pouring out of my heart made me realize the good and the bad and the positive, how much is affected, how much the divine is part of who we are. It's not limited just to personalities that you deal with, whether it's friends or family or people you work with. It's much more broader than that. It has a tremendous effect globally when you're able to take something from Divine Mother that you need to work on and resolve it. Because it ripples out globally. And it has a tremendous effect, not just on yourself, but I really believe on other people. You know, when you stand up here and give a sermon, it's good to pray to my guru. It's good for me to pray to my guru. And it's good to pray to the masters, but I really have an affection for Babaji. And, you know, I've shared this story before, and I'll just touch on it briefly. But, you know, Tiagini and I love to hike. And going into Palm Springs on a September day to go hiking is not really the right thing to do. But being a desert lizard, and Tiagini being more alpine in her hiking, I thought, why not? It's 102 degrees, it's not a problem. So we went out hiking, and I got halfway out to this point, and I was sick. I don't think I could make it back. And ironically, Tiagini, the Nordic, was super strong that day. It was our first hike of the day. And I can remember we had 7 miles to hike back to the car, and I had 7 miles to go, and I just knew that my time could be up. Luckily, I was wearing my kriya beads, and I took my kriya beads off, because if I'm going to go, I'm going to try to go by doing kriya. But I could hardly breathe, and I was crumpled over. But like I said, Tiagini was very strong, and she, as long as I could see where she was ahead of me, I could get to that next point and see if I could make it back. But I was struggling big time. And when I finally came within sight of going downhill back to the car, she waited for me by this big boulder, and we sat down, and I was pretty delirious. And I remember on the hike, lots of sound and lots of thoughts pouring out of me. And it made me think that maybe this is what it's like. You know, we have a wealth of karma we deal with. And they say, and I don't know for sure, that you have to deal with all this as you're getting ready to exit your body. And it's not all, it's just karma. It's not positive or negative. It's just stuff. But I had thoughts of childhood going through my mind. I heard sounds of people, conversations that I've had in the past. I mean, it was all just overwhelming, along being with almost dead, that I got to this point where I sat down and I looked over and I see this man with a bare chest meditating where the sunset is. And I really thought, this is just an illusion. It's like a desert oasis. I was just hallucinating. But luckily, Tiagini saw him, and he was sitting there with basically, I don't know, he was in meditative posture, sitting down on a rock, looking out, meditating as the sun was going down. And I was kind of, I wanted to go over to him because I was going to tell him to put a shirt on because he was bare-chested and it was still in 100 degrees. So he seemed pretty relaxed. The thing that caught my eye was that he had very, very long straight hair. And when I stood up to go talk to him, I totally forgot about it. And I walked down to the car and made it back to the apartment, and here I am, still alive. But in that moment, I realized just through the one step at a time, on the trail, trying to get back to the car, was enough of grace, enough of an effort to pull me along. And that's what the spiritual path is like all about. Divine ascension is just one step at a time. No matter if you're struggling, no matter if you're bouncing on the trail, you have to just continually keep going forward. Now, dealing with my brother is just the total opposite for me, a flip-flop. He's my teacher now. I can be around him. We can chat. We can have a good time. And that's just a little bit of it. So if you have anyone in your life, siblings, people you work with, whatever it might be, friends, people you have difficulty with, really get past that personality and go right into their hearts and put yourself into their hearts and try to heal not only yourself, it will heal on broader levels than that. Remember that all of us in this time of year are a family. It's not limited. The truths are many. Divine Mother, and thank God we're on a planet where there are many incarnations of great men and women who have incarnated to offer this truth. Jesus was the living truth. But then again, so were these masters here. And so, years ago, on my only visit to India, Mother Teresa was still alive, and we went to, it was probably the last time I went to a Catholic Mass, but we went to a Catholic Mass in Calcutta, and Ma was there, and she wanted us to wait, and she was going to come and talk to our group, And Mother, I can remember, I have a photograph of it, of Mother coming up to our group, and she was about this tall, and a big booming voice, and very powerful. But through her laying truth, there was truth that we needed to hear. She was a loyal daughter of the Catholic Church, very loyal to the Pope, and very, very beautiful to see that. But when she talked to our group, I mean, there may have been a few ex-Catholics in our group, but none of us, I mean, some of us had never been to a Catholic Mass before. She didn't address that. She spoke truth to us. And those words that she said to us, I'll never forget. She told us to pray together as a family. She told us to get away from the television set. She told us to be together. Don't diversify yourself. Stay together as a group. Those are the words that I remember, and I'll never forget the feeling that I had, because here was this beautiful Catholic nun expressing truth. Truth is one and it is eternal. Many, many, many people speak it, and it doesn't just have to be, and it's not only the great men and women, the masters of this world who have come incarnated and left. It can come from people like my brother, who is not, you know, trained to be that way. But if you listen enough to people, listen for the truth that's being spoken, what is the truth that is being spoken to you, you will find, you'll start to see, you'll start to feel that Christ is reborn in you. And carry that throughout the year and never let it die. Continually to visualize the birth of Christ and what it means in your own self. The birth of this divine light that comes into the world. It is good to read these stories, the stories of baby Krishna, the stories of Rama from India, the stories of Islam. These are really beautiful stories, and ones you have to keep alive within you. So every day when you wake up, you're born anew in that light of the divine. And then every night when you go back to sleep, you reach that ascension point where you can give it all back to the divine, start anew the next morning. I wish you a very happy holiday and also a very blessed new year. Let's meditate briefly.